Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Leadership. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Mahek Vora. We're going to hear how she, as a very, very young woman, has been able to build quite a following and quite an empire in her own right. Before we begin, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Knightly Productions. If you want to create tactical content that delivers and you have a podcast or a YouTube channel and want to multipurpose that content, head over to Knightly.Productions to see how we can help you deliver that content. Mahek, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to give the audience, I talked about, I'm going to call it out ahead of time, just to give perspective on how amazing you are. You're only 24 years old, which is crazy to think as I'm reading like your bio and looking at everything you've done. I'm like, then you told me that I knew you were young, but 24 is ridiculous. And I want to give the audience just some insight in these very short 24 years that you've had. You've generated over 10 million views on LinkedIn for yourself, for clients. You attended Purdue University for their computer science program, ended up dropping out at 19 years old to pursue startups. We talked about it beforehand and we're going to dive into that, where you felt like college really wasn't your thing. After running your LinkedIn marketing agency for a few years, you decided to start SkillBank. The primary thing that SkillBank offers and helps people with is a 15-week program that is an upfront marketing program. You help people break into the marketing world and reach their goals in that realm. Before we kind of unpack all of that, which is a ton to unpack, go ahead and tell the audience, what's something special about you? What's something different that we might not know about you?
I've always been a very narrative-driven person. So if there is a story that I can tell myself in my head of like, hey, I'm making someone else's life better, or I'm providing an impact in this certain type of way, I can motivate myself to move forward and to build something. So I'm just having that motivation has been something that I've had since I've been a little kid. I've always just really enjoyed that idea of being a builder and being someone who enjoys making something out of nothing. And it's brought me to where I am today and building what I'm building.
So obviously you're in the entrepreneurship space now. Did you ever, you hear about all these people that started that world as like a lemonade stand, right? You wanted to build some little neighborhood hustle. Were you ever in that world, or did this kind of develop for you after that and you got the bug after middle school, high school age?
Yeah. I remember in middle school, I learned that you could make a bubble solution to like blow bubbles out of and with dishwashing soap and water. So I didn't have a lemonade stand, but I had a bubble solution stand in my neighborhood, and we had like a little labeler. And I remember that was my first time really making something that I was selling. But before I was in startups as a content creator. So like I've been making YouTube videos since I was 9 or 10 years old. And I always just really enjoyed the process of sharing some type of information or sharing a story with someone in a very condensed and formulaic way. So I started making videos, and then my freshman year of high school, I made an app, an Android app. And that was my first time actually getting my hands dirty with programming. And that's when I realized that I was really excited about building something actually out of nothing and having other people use that product. So that's how I got into it. And then over the years, it was just, what else can I make? What else can I build? And I went into my freshman year of college with this mindset of wanting to be self-employed by the time I graduated. I knew that even though I was learning how to code, I didn't want to go work at a Facebook or a Google or a big company. I was more excited about building something for myself. And that's what got me into it.
And you did that pretty much right in the middle of college. You're going to Purdue. It's an amazing university. You're studying all this stuff that you see is obviously in that path of what you're interested in. Talk to us about that point where you decided like college itself is not the construct you wanted to be a part of, and more of that self-leadership, self-motivation, entrepreneurship world is where you wanted to go. Tell us kind of like how that transition happened with you.
Yeah. So like I said, my freshman year, I had this idea of wanting to start some type of company. I just wasn't really sure what it was. And I knew I wanted to be self-employed by the time I graduated. So I joined Purdue's co-working space, and there was a lot of startups that were coming out of there that were getting funding, that were making a difference within the state or in the US. And just being in that environment was incredibly motivating, and seeing people building things. After my freshman year, my friend invited me out to a conference in San Francisco run by the Thiel Fellowship. And if you're not familiar with the Thiel Fellowship, they give 20 to 25 students every year $100,000 to drop out of college. And it's run by the tech billionaire Peter Thiel. He's part of the PayPal founding team. And when I came out for this conference, I met 300 to 400 people that had dropped out of college and had started something. And up until this point, I didn't know that dropping out of college was an option. I grew up in a very traditionally educated Indian family. My dad was a doctor. So for me to kind of have the shift that, like, oh, hey, actually to go into tech and to build a company, I don't need to go to college, that was very different. And I remember coming back from this conference and realizing that I didn't want to be in college anymore. And I went into game plan mode. So it's like, how can I convince my parents into letting me drop out? And I realized the only way I could do that was by starting something and then, like, proving to them that I could build it on my own. So I started this marketing agency at Purdue called Jamoka Media, and Jamoka was just a vehicle for me to learn. So, like, I wanted to learn Facebook ads. I'd go out and I'd find a client that needed Facebook ads, and I'd say, hey, you don't even have to pay me a fee right now. Let me just, like, prove it to you that I can figure this out. And then if I do well, we can figure out some type of retainer. So I started doing that, started doing Facebook ads, building websites for people. And going into the end of my sophomore year, I got a data science internship out in the Bay. And I moved out there and never looked back. I remember calling my mom July after my sophomore year, going into my junior year in college. And I was just like, I'm not going back. And she was just like, all right, like, we'll give you 6 months, figure it out. And if you can prove that you can make a living in this time, get yourself on your feet, we'll let you stay. So yeah, never looked back, and I'm here in SF still today.
So you're talking, you have 6 months. That's a little bit of a time crunch. The traditional culture that you grew up in, you're obviously already breaking out of the standard mold, right? And as a young person today, where you have so much influence and so many different directions, and then you have the pressure on your parents, and you're only given a 6 month window, how would you describe that mindset of, and that determination, where it takes a lot of self-leadership on that piece, right? The self-mastery to stay motivated. Cause I'm sure this was not glitz and glamour, right? I'm sure there were ups and downs like we've all seen. How do you keep that motivation? What would you say to that next 20-year-old that's feeling that same thing?
Entrepreneurship is a really lonely thing. And it's not because it's not because, oh, like, you're working actually alone. It's because really at the end of the day, you are the only person that can make yourself a success. You know, like, you can surround yourself with people that believe in you and people that say you're going to achieve things, but, like, really it's up to you. And, like, you have to take that on and be that person. So for me, I remember when my friends all went back to, because I had some friends out here in the Bay that were doing CS internships that summer at Facebook and Google and working at different startups. And when class came back around again, starting junior year, they all left to go back. And I'm still in this apartment in San Francisco. And I remember that feeling was like, oh no, I've messed up. Like, what did I do?
Let's be honest. Those were not the words you used. I'm sure they were not the words.
Yeah, no, definitely. I messed up. And I remember I couldn't sleep for weeks because I was so nervous about what I was doing. But I looked at other people that had built something big. And they had taken untraditional paths. Not that they just didn't graduate from college, like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, but I was looking at even people that were my age that were pushing the needle in the space. And that was really motivating to see that, you know, like you don't have to be a Mark Zuckerberg to be successful. Like you don't have to be a billionaire, but like success is being able to make a living for yourself, living comfortably and actually living your life in the way that you want to live it. And I was seeing that there were tens of hundreds of people out here in the Bay that were my age in 2016 that had dropped out and were doing that. So I think just seeing that was really motivating, but also just having this narrative in my head of that, hey, if I stay the course here and I work really hard, I will eventually figure this out. So there's a lot of self-confidence in that, but also just, I think looking at other people was also very helpful.
Was there anybody that you found along that you mentioned you were looking at other people around you? Is there somebody like one person that inspired you, maybe mentored you, coached you, did something where you're like, this person is the catalyst of where I could attribute that level of success and mindset?
Yeah. Her name's Stacey Ferreira. She's one of my best friends now today. But I remember the first time I saw her, she was on the cover of 17 magazine. And I think I was in high school at the time. And she had dropped out of college to start a company called My Social Cloud that was then sold to MyReputation.com. And she was 21 years old. And hearing her story of like dropping out and starting this company and then having investors like Richard Branson and all of these really cool people, I was just like, oh, wow. Like she didn't come from a tech or startup world and had entered the space and had made a name for herself. So like I reached out to her when I first moved to San Francisco and she was a really big mentor to me when we first started. And we now both live in LA together and or not together, but like very close to each other. And I've been really grateful to have someone like her just as like who's run the course and is a few years ahead of me and been there to help me out throughout the way and be there to give me advice.
Yeah, I think that's something that's incredibly powerful when you start doubting that side of things. We're in an entrepreneur space, especially as a younger person. I remember when I first started out in business, I was self-taught. I left government and went into entrepreneurship. So like you didn't learn anything from the government about how to run your own life, right? And there's so much self-doubt attached to that where sometimes I feel like there's a limiting belief where nobody's going to want to help me. Nobody's going to want to invest back into that relationship. How do you connect with her, show her that there was some sort of value there? Because people are value driven, right? At the end of the day, they don't want to waste their time on somebody that's not going to do the work or not do X, Y, and Z. They're not going to want to waste their time. So how do you show her that in whatever capacity you were quote unquote worth being around, worth her investing time in you?
I mean, to be completely honest, I think when I first reached out to her, I was no one really worth spending your time around. I mean, I think when I reached out to her, it was, hey, I have this idea. I want to start this agency. Can I like ask you for advice? So like, honestly, it was just out of the good of her heart that she took 20 minutes out of her day to jump on a Skype call with me and to give me advice. And then when I moved to San Francisco, we were just in the same city. So I could nag her a lot more to like hang out with me and to become my friend. But the thing is not just with like Stacey's case, but I think this is just with anyone that if you're doing something and like you're making moves in your own way and in your own world, you know, people will, regardless of who they are going to be like, oh, hey, this is someone that I want to hang out with or like someone that I want to like stay around. And like, I think Stacey saw a lot of herself in me whenever we first met, that I was like, I was young, I wanted to do something new. And she really just took me under her wing. I think whenever people were reaching out to me, I always put myself back into that place of, you know, there was someone there that was able to give me advice. So like, if I can jump on a 15 to 20 minute call with someone and help them out with their day or figuring out what they need to do next, I love taking calls with young people.
And paying it forward. I mean, obviously that's almost like karma, right? You keep paying it forward and that person, you keep that chain of influence going down into like that next generation or that next young person. And I really love that because it shows obviously humility. It shows vulnerability that you were willing to put yourself out there to somebody that could very easily have told you just like go pound sand, right? I don't want to talk to you. You're not worth my time. But obviously you invested in that relationship and you showed that that capacity of networking is really valuable. And you've built this, I don't even know how to describe it in those terms, but you've built something on LinkedIn where you just get a ton of marketing success. You've got a concept there. that you're now pushing forward into teaching people those marketing strategies, right? With Skill Bank and teaching them through this program. Can you describe that to us? Like, where'd this idea come up for you? How do you conceptualize it into this is actually effective? Where did all that really come from at its core?
Yeah. So after building up the LinkedIn agency and running that for 3 or 4 years, I was pretty over consulting because, you know, consulting is a very linear thing when it comes to making money. You know, it's, you're going to do X amount of work and you're going to get paid X amount. So like 3 hours is going to equal to so much pay. And I was feeling pretty exhausted by it. And I decided that, you know, instead of building other people's visions and doing LinkedIn marketing for them, what if we switched things over and I built something for myself? And taking a look at my friends who had just graduated from college in the last couple of years, I felt like I was much farther ahead of them when it came to being in the startup world, being in the business world. I just made so many more connections. And the other thing too is when you're young, people are more willing to take that bet on you or take that chance on you. Like, you can just get away with so much more. So if you can kind of hack that a little bit and get into the space a lot earlier, it's just a lot easier to make those intros and get those connections. So I decided to start Skill Bank just mainly because I saw that gap, but then also people that were graduating from college needed that bridge from like, okay, I've studied marketing, but how do I know what an agency actually like needs to see from me? Or like, how do I market myself to these companies to actually get them to hire me? That's what led us into starting that. And Skill Bank just started with me teaching a couple of students at 5 a.m. in the morning every day for like a few months and then helping them land a job. And then once I saw that, okay, I was able to help a couple of people land these job, this like marketing job before they were going to work, working at like a gas station or something, I was just like, all right, we can move this forward a little bit more and look at how can we scale these classes up? How can I maybe bring on another teacher? And slowly over the span of the last 2 years, we've been able to build out a team, and our next cohort starting in May is going to be like 30 students. So it's,
that's awesome.
Slowly building that up.
And I'm noticing a trend here, which I think is really fascinating. And I'm a big Gary Vee guy. I love like how blunt he is about stuff. You're like, this is how it is. And this is what worked for me. And a trend I'm noticing with you is that value-driven piece, right? Where you said from the get-go, you did X, Y, and Z just to like prove the concept. Hey, I want a client that's in this so I can learn. You don't have to pay me. We'll figure that out later, but I want to provide you value. So obviously the intrinsic value to you is learning. The same thing that you just talked about with Skill Bank and how that started. Hey, let's see if this is something that even is interesting. Let's help these people out, get them placed, and then we can grow it from there. It really has kind of a, even in the millennial generation, we have this concept that we do something, we expect to be paid for it. We expect to automatically make $1 million. We expect, and we expect it to happen right now. Right? How do you maintain that level of patience attached to it where you're not expecting like this amazing feedback necessarily until you prove yourself? I feel like my generation, the younger generation, it's very, hey, I'm here. I graduated college. I'm amazing, but never really show the actual true value they can bring to something. They just expect it. How do you figure that out? Like, obviously that's a very different mindset to have where you've been very value driven. How'd that click with you?
I like to set things up in such a way where I feel like I'm making progress. So it's a lot easier to make progress to go from 0 to 1 than it is to go from 0 to 100. And I mean, I think that's just what really even keeps me motivated at the end of the day. Like, if I would have started this company 2 years ago and said, all right, we're going to like get these people to sign income share agreements with us, which is how we structure things, and we're going to go straight to 30 students and I'm going to get them all placed, like that would have been a failure and I would have felt really bad about myself. But it's a lot easier to take on what, oh, hey, we got one student. This is great. You can like motivate yourself to then say, all right, how can I get this one student placed? And then how can I scale things up from there? It's so much easier, I think, to get behind that in my head, just so that way, like, it keeps me motivated over a longer period of time. But I think, you know, the other thing too is when it comes to entrepreneurship, you have to look at it as a way of making yourself better and as learning, making it an opportunity for you to learn. So like, let's say if Skill Bank fails, I really hope it doesn't, but if it does, I want to be able to look back on building this company and saying that I am now a better person than I was when I started it. And I actually, at the end of the day, am my biggest project. So I look at everything that I'm doing as a way to make me smarter and to push myself forward as a person, rather than I'm building a thing that is completely separate from me. And yeah, I'm just focusing on this. So I think when you look at entrepreneurship in that mindset, it makes it a lot easier to take things a lot slower and actually test things out, rather than I need to see this become successful immediately or I'm going to fail.
You said something just now that correlated with me really well. And I think a lot of people, I never want to denounce your age, but it's so impressive at the fact that at 24, you've already figured out like the answer to life, right? You said, I am my biggest project. So many people want to focus outward and forget about the inward, right? You forget about like, you have to have yourself right before you can really help everybody else. And I'm sure you have those bad, everybody has a bad day, right? Everybody has those miserable days.
Absolutely.
You take a hit, but you, that right there, having that mindset in the space, it's something I'm going through right now, transitioning out of the military. A lot of the audience is transitioning people from corporate into entrepreneurship or from government work into whatever else is next, right? And they forget the fact that they still have to be working on themselves. They want to rest on their laurels of, I did all this in the military. Well, sorry, that doesn't apply to the civilian world, right? That doesn't apply to the corporate world. It's great. You did amazing things. We appreciate it. But doesn't matter, quote unquote, anymore, because you still have to be working on yourself to improve. What has been a great resource that you've used to work on yourself, whether it's been a book, a podcast, something that you were like, man, this right here helped me improve something, and I would recommend it to that next person to build that self-development piece?
You know, I'm not really a big content consumer. Like, I don't really listen to too many podcasts, or like if I do, it's like more for entertainment purposes. Like, I love just like watching YouTubers and stuff.
All right, wait. Think, let's pause there for 2 seconds. Which one do you watch, or which one do you listen to for entertainment value?
I really like Logan Paul's podcast. Okay. I don't know if you listen to it, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I do. That just dictates like everything right there. So we're good. Keep talking. Sorry.
I really try that everything that I do within whatever I'm working on, whether it's SkillBank or I'm like starting a fun project with friends, I always try to actually just pick up something new within it. So it's like when with coding, it was really easy because it's like, hey, I want to make this new project. I'm going to go out and learn a different programming language. So I'm becoming smarter and like I'm learning different things. When it comes to building a company now and like being on the more managerial side, it's, hey, can I maybe use different tools in the past, or can I interview people that have done something in the space? So like we're looking at starting, we were looking at like creating TikToks over the summer. And I just went out and interviewed as many people as I could find about like, how did you start your TikTok? How did you grow it? And really just trying to look at everything as being an informational opportunity rather than I need to do this now and do this immediately and figure it out. If you can take a more strategic approach to how you're doing things and interviewing people and talking to people that have actually done it really well, it's a lot easier than trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Everything's an informational opportunity. I think that's so awesome to hear and have that concept. Because again, like there's literally everything really is, right? You can always learn something new from.
Absolutely.
From everything.
It makes the failures a lot better too, right? Like if something doesn't work out, but you've learned something new in the process, it's a lot easier to look at it as like, hey, this actually wasn't a failure because I've learned something, rather than, hey, I tried it out and it didn't work and I just wasted a month of my time.
Yeah, because then you'll beat yourself up over that one quote unquote failure. Yeah. And the military is all about acronyms. For fail, I always look at it as your first attempt in learning. But it's that learning piece that you have to really recognize is like you mentioned earlier, you don't want SkillBank to fail. But if it does, you'll have a plethora of new knowledge attached to running a business, starting a business, managing a business, yada, 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 across all that. And even the intrinsic value past that, that a lot of people kind of forget is like, think about the network you're creating around this business. How many people have you touched? How many businesses have you touched? Where now you have this huge, diverse network where you're getting yourself out there more. What is that value to you? Is that something you've leveraged more as you've moved through things? Have you kind of like been able to incorporate that a lot more as you've grown through business?
Yeah, everything that I've done has led into the next thing. So even with starting SkillBank today, like running that marketing agency for 4 years helped with setting up the framework for how we created the first round of curriculum for our students at Skillbank. And now even when it comes to placing them, I can talk to agencies a lot easier than I would have been able to 4 years ago, because I have so much of this knowledge and insight from not only just running my own agency, but working with agencies through that agency. So yeah, everything is a learning experience. And it's just Skillbank for me at this point, starting this company, just made the most sense, because I came from a background where I didn't learn using college. I tried things out on my own. I had marketing and agency experience, and everything just came together to build what this company looks like today from my personal narrative. And then I collected people along the way. So our main instructor and growth person, Tyler, like I met him 4 years ago and we stayed in touch while I was building my agency. So like, you know, you'd be surprised over time how much people like come back into your life, or people will join you at different phases depending on what you're working on. And you have to collect people and provide value in any way that you can. So that way in the future, if like you can get them to come and work with you or be a partner, it's great.
And it's definitely obviously working out well for you, but there's one thing in particular, and digging through your website, that I have to probe just a little bit, because you already have so many great things, but you have a chief pup officer named Olive.
Yes.
Tell us about Olive. How does Olive run the business for you?
She will jump on the bed when we're like just like if we were teaching in our room. So we have like a Skillbank house in LA where we have our classes from, where we meet with students online. And it's just like our office. And Olive was my dog that I got back in August. She was a quarantine puppy. And she's around. So like you'll sometimes hear her barking in meetings, or like she'll be sitting in on my bed behind me while I'm working. So it's she's just there. Like everyone knows who she is.
Oh man. So I saw that. I'm like, I have to figure out what that is. That's amazing to have a chief pup officer. If I lean over, you can see my chief pup officer right there.
Amazing.
Yeah. She sleeps a lot. Yeah. She's like 15, so she doesn't jump at all.
Oh, so cute. But and we got her the best Instagram handle. Her surname is Olive. So we got her Olive Your Heart. And I don't know how we copped that, right? Like how that was available.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just.
Does she post often? Does she put up some good content, marketing?
Yeah, stuff? We'll post on her story, like all the funny stuff. She's a puppy right now too. So like we're going through those terrible two stages where like we'll come back home and there's just cardboard everywhere. It's ridiculous.
But I love
she's a joy.
Yeah, I love it. And I love highlighting silly stuff like that, because it is silly, but at the end of the day, like that's how you integrate daily life into like the fun of entrepreneurship, because it can be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And if you let it get the best of you and not integrate a chief pup officer, then obviously what you're working toward, you won't see that end goal, because you'll end up giving up on it. But as you've learned and you've pivoted and you've shifted and you've built some amazing things, all of it together, what is the legacy you're wanting to leave on the world with everything you're working on, everything you're putting into the world?
Yeah. You know, when it comes to legacy, legacy implies that, you know, like it's something that people think about you when you're gone. And I'm not trying to optimize for that, because when I'm dead, I'm not going to actually be able to like reap the benefits of what I'm doing today. So what I'm really trying to optimize for now, just to living my best life, is I want to really help the people around me. And it's actually coming from a very selfish place, because, you know, like when people say like, oh, I want to help people, it's like, I want to help people because I want to give back. But it's like, I want to help people because it makes me feel really good about myself. So in any way that I can help people and touch them, that's something that is really exciting for me. And with Skillbank, it's exciting because we're having such a direct impact on people's lives. It's not just a, hey, we're offering this product and like in some way it's helping you, but it's a, no, we're taking people from 10K a year salary to 70 to 75K a year. Like that's such a huge direct impact. And when the value that I want to provide to people now is just how can we make them the best version of themselves? And that's what I'm thinking about. So it's not even legacy 30 years or hopefully I'm actually around 30 years from now, but like 100 years from now. But yeah,
like you're going to live another 200 with modern medicine the way it's been.
I hope so. I hope so. We'll see.
That's such an amazing mission. And what's funny that people listening won't be able to see, and this is kind of a rare thing, because there are people that analytically think about their legacy and they're like, this is what I'm doing. And there's not an ounce of joy attached to them saying that. And the whole time you describe that, your face lit up, you smiled, and it was like, you're just like excited about that and that you're actually accomplishing that. So I have to give you a big shout out for that, because the people listening, again, they're not going to see how excited you are, but it's obviously not just lip service of, I want to help people because I want to be good in the world. It's like you literally have a passion attached to that. So I applaud it. I think it's absolutely amazing to see your face light up like that. And I want to give the audience an opportunity. What is the best way for them to reach out to you, find you, follow Olive? Let's throw her handle back out there again. But overall, just the best way to contact you.
Yeah, if you want to follow Olive, she's just Olive Your Heart, like Olive the vegetable. My username is at the THE, and then my full name, Mehek Vohra. MEHAKVOHRA. I'm everywhere on that: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. If you want to shoot me an email, it's just my first name, Mehek, MEHAK, at joinskillbank.com, and you can grab a hold of me there.
I love it. All that will be in the show notes. We'll make sure especially to highlight Olive and her greatness. But definitely tune back in. We're going to bring Mehek back this Friday for her tactics and the action advice attached to everything we just talked about. So Mehek, I appreciate your time, the wisdom at such a wonderful young age, and everything you're really providing to the world and the audience today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.